And welcome to another edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. I'm Paul Dottino at Giants WFAN. He is at Howard Cross, at Howard Cross 87. No surprise there. And we'll be here for the next hour to talk Giants football with you. The Giants are hosting the Chicago Bears Sunday at MetLife Stadium here in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Try to win their fifth game in a row. First time they would have five straight regular season wins since the 2010 season, Howard. Okay. And that is significant because this team right now is on a roll, but at the same time, they've won four dramatic games. And Coach McAdoo, very robotic in his approach yesterday, saying, hey, you don't mail anything in this league. You better play.
You know, I think what people have to realize is that it's tough to win games in this league. And I think that it's galvanizing to win close games, but it would be great to have one where you just go out and finish your team off. I think the Giants are still plagued by the turnover bug a little bit. They're plagued by the
18 games in a row, Howard.
And they're plagued by the big play. The big play and the turnover bug play, you know, pass receptions over 30 yards or runs over 20 yards. They've just been plagued by them. I'm like, I think since game two, they've had at least one play of 30 yards or more in the pass game.
Now, the Giants, fortunately, over their winning streak for them, have had at least one turnover in each of those games, mm-hmm. Howard. That is defensively.
Yep.
And they've had at least a sack in each of those games. Mm-hmm. And they've only averaged about five penalties a game over the winning streak also. Those are good numbers.
Yes, yeah, so as they shored up their game plan and as they shore up their, you know, their little technical ins and outs, they are getting better. You know, if you can have less than 50 yards in penalties, that comes into first downs and sometimes touchdowns. If you can have, you know, like I said, if you could stop turning the ball over, and if you just don't turn it over at all, that turns into touchdowns. And when you get sacks, or more so hits on quarterbacks, because they're getting a lot of hits. You know, it's not just the sacks. I think people believe the sacks are, you know, it's a stat, but the hits are what you want to see. A guy that's getting up off the ground a lot over and over again, he starts to make bad decisions as the game goes on.
Giants had another half a dozen quarterback hits the other day against Andy Dalton mm-hmm. of the Bengals. Great games for Olivier Vernon and both JPP as well. I thought played extremely well the other day.
Very, very well. I thought Eli played an exceptional game because when we talk about quarterback hits, he took a lot of hits.
He took six himself.
Yeah, he took some big hits, gets up off the ground, and keeps going. And when I said it had to be 4 weeks ago, Eli will have to start taking hits in order to move this game along. I guess he waited to, okay, I can take it to at least half the season. It looks good. He's the tough guy we always knew he was, and he's making plays.
Yeah, making some nice touchdown throws, mm-hmm. too. We'll give you the injury report today. Giants not having Dwayne Harris at practice with a toe injury. Mm-hmm. Brett Jones with a calf injury also not practicing today. Justin Pugh's a holdover. We know he's got that sprained knee. We're not sure when he'll get back to practice, but still not available this morning. Mm-hmm. Orleans Darkwa was out there doing individual drills. He has a lower leg injury. And Victor Cruz was also limited on an ankle that he sprained 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. He worked out limited yesterday, mm-hmm. was out there limited today. Maybe he'll do more reps today. I know that's the hope. Mm-hmm. Coach was very optimistic about Victor when yep. he talked about him yesterday. And Adam Geddes was also out there today in full gear, coming off of a sore calf. Now, why is that important? Well, Howard, if you look at this injury list, you see Pugh, Jones, and Geddes, three guards yep. on the injured list. That's why the Giants have now re-signed Sean McDermott, an offensive lineman who played at the University of Miami a couple years back. He was in training camp. He is now on the practice squad mm-hmm. because they need to get reps for the line. Yep. McDermott's actually out there with the team now.
Well, when you say they need to get reps with the line, you have to think of it this way. They need to get reps. They need to be able to run the defense.
You can't run plays without the bodies.
That's right. So if you're going out and you're a little banged up, you got a little calf tightness, and you remember the calf was the quote unquote signature injury a few years ago around the league.
So still is.
Yeah, and if you go out and you got all your linemen kind of down, two guards that you think may be out, then the other one just practicing with a sore calf, you can't let him go scout team for defense and run the offense. You got to give him some rest during the day, and that's why you got to bring other guys in.
So that's where the Giants stand right now, and you know, they're hoping that all of these guys, or at least some of them at the very least, will get better over the next couple of days as they prepare for Sunday's game once again against the 2-7 Chicago Bears, who have lost four of their last five and are 0-5 on the road this season. Jay Cutler, by the way, has only played in four games for them. I don't know if you've been following the Bears, folks, but he was hurt and missed a month of the season. in his four games, Howard, and he can throw. He can make every throw, but in the four games he's played, he's had four interceptions, and he's fumbled the ball five times because, as every critic of Jay Cutler knows, he will turn it over.
Yes, he will, but, you know, in all fairness to Jay, through his career, he hasn't had the most stellar offensive lines. He's out there winging it. He's just, I'm going to do it on my own with my arm. And also, people don't realize this, he's athletic. He'll run. Now, when he's running, he just doesn't take care of the ball when he's running. You know, you can slap it out of his hand. If you grab him or hit him or get close to him, it'll come out. But that's more because he's just a little more aggressive, trying to make plays on his own because he doesn't feel like he's always protected. That's an excuse I'm giving him, but it's Jay Cutler.
Alshon Jeffrey, their star wide receiver, suspended PED use by the league the other day. He will miss four games. Game number one is against the Giants, which means their leading receiver, who is tight end Zach Miller with 44 grabs so far this year, he would still be their primary target and, quite frankly, maybe their secondary target new now that Jeffrey is not on the field.
I was laughing. People were asking me about Jeffrey. How do you stop Jeffrey? So I'm like, put him in the game. He hasn't really done that much. Even though he's their big-time receiver, not a lot of touchdowns, not a lot of first downs. He's just been having a pedestrian season. But now that he's not in, other guys are going to get a chance. That's a scary thing. That's the thing you have to worry about when you give other guys a chance who want to have that, have those targets, wants to have all those opportunities. You don't want those guys to go out and try to make a name for themselves.
Yeah, veteran Eddie Royal has been around this league for a while. Mm-hmm. He is one of the guys who will probably be asked to pick up the slack for the Bears. Mm-hmm. All right, our phone number is 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, or hit us up at hashtag Giants Chat. We've taken a few minutes to kind of give you a flavor of what's going on here this week as the Giants prepare for the Bears. Now it's time to get you guys involved. Let's go to the phone lines, and I didn't pop up our list, so I'm just going to say go to line one. Hello, you're on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, guys, how are you? How's everything?
I'm very good. How are we doing? What's going on?
All right. No, I'm just saying this is a good question for you, Howard. I'm glad you're on the show today. Is it time for the Giants to unleash Jarrell Adams down the seam? I mean, these teams that keep playing these cover twos, I think Jarrell Adams has the speed to get down the seam better than Will Tye. I'm not saying Will Tye hasn't been good for us this year. I just think his height and his length gives that cover two a problem. And I haven't seen Coach McAdoo take advantage of his size and his height going down that seam.
Well, you know, the whole idea with the whole cover two and the and going down the seam and everything, I think you have to think of it from this standpoint. You have to be sure that he's going to see what the quarterback sees. Even though it's cover two, there's a whole thing about how close will you be to the linebacker. Is it going to be an out and up, or are you just running down the seam? There are a few other things that go on. We've seen some miscues with some of the younger receivers. Eli dropping the ball in the bucket. The guy might drop the ball. The next time he'll go back to the exact same play, and the receiver doesn't run the route. Then,
right.
Then they come back, and you know Eli's coaching him up on the sideline, trying to get him. You can't have too many of those plays during the game. So I don't think it's that he can't do it. I'm just waiting for them to be secure. Every time they get a little more secure with a guy, you start to see that guy a little bit more. It's nothing more than that. They play with the guys that they trust that will do what they're asked, and then they trust them to execute what they're asking them to do.
Look, you've seen Jarrell Adams over the course of the last two games make appearances in key spots in this offense, and in fact, his touchdown catch the other day was only the second touchdown grab by a Giants tight end this season.
That's true, and it also was his first touchdown catch, which happened to be on Monday Night Football, which he'll
pretty
have something.
Cool.
He'll have something to tell for a long time.
Oh yeah,
absolutely. But no, I understand your point though, Howard. Yeah, because you see the miscommunications with these young rookies that really don't see the. It can't be an option route with them because they're not on the same page with Eli at this moment.
Yeah,
is that what you mean?
Yeah, when you see Eli turn to the side and he's motioning with his hands, that's the nonverbal conversation we're having. You have to know exactly what he's saying. And now,
right.
And it's just me, I believe from week to week, those hand gestures, they change. Because if you do the mm-hmm. same, if you do the same thing every time,
right.
Put it on tape, people are like, okay, that means he's going to run an out. That means he's going to run a go. That means, so you have to like constantly, you know, redo it and have, okay, this week, this is what we got. This week,
right.
And it's, It's week to week. Some things will be standard, but some things will be. It's kind of like watching a baseball guy when he's doing his signals. You know, he's touching the hat, rubbing the sleeves, fixing his tire, whatever he's doing, and only one of those things means something.
Right.
So it's interesting.
Yeah. So also, Paul, got a question for you on the defense. Do you feel that Spencer Ball has taken over for Leon Hall? Because I really didn't see anything of Leon. I didn't see Leon Hall, and I don't know if he was injured or not, if he wasn't dressed.
No, he was a healthy scratch, and my understanding was that had to do more with special teams than anything else. And you'll recall Sensabaugh actually ran down a kick returner on special teams. It was a big return, and Sensabaugh made the play.
That's what I was saying,
Hall is not really much of a special teams guy. And clearly the Giants in these last two matchups have felt they wanted an extra special teams guy up.
Well, you know, the thing that you have to think about with the special teams that people don't realize, Robbie Gould is a good kicker. He's very accurate, and he does all the stuff right. But when it's the kickoff time, they want him to kick it. You know, you want a kicker that's going to kick it either through or 8 yards deep or they won't return it. If you're going to get it right around the goal line or just 2 or 3 yards deep, guys bring it out. So when guys bring it out, you got to have more guys staffed in your cover team that you know can get down there and make plays.
Exactly.
And it's nothing against Robbie. It's just that's the deal. Like, Robbie's not a young man. He's younger than I am, but he's not a young man, so to speak. So you got to have great cover teams. You see some teams trying to specialize in kind of that mortar type kick where they try to kick it down to the 5 yard line and have great hang time. Those guys, you can depend on that guy doing it every time, and then your team can cover.
That takes skill to do. A lot of practice and skill.
Absolutely.
Not every kicker can do those.
Yeah, and if you can't do it, if they say you kick it to the five, but it's, like, really low, you got a great return coming.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, the blocks on returns are very unique. You think of it this way. No one is tied up and blocked in a return. You're usually just bumped out of your lane, and you're trying to bump them far enough out of their lane or a guy where there's a crease that you can hit it. If you can't, if you can't do it, then you make the play wherever the ball lands. But most of the time, you're just trying to get that bump, that little nudge to get that, we got a big hole. If you can get to that hole, you can get out.
Ralph, before we let you go, you'll remember John Carney when he was here with the Giants that 1 year and he made the Pro Bowl as the Giants kicker. He was an older kicker who had lost distance on his kickoff, so Tom Coughlin made him try to get hang time, and he made him do directional kickoffs to try to get guys boxed into a corner, and that's how the Giants had to run their kickoffs all year long. And that's just the way it is, because if you know he can't boom it through the end zone, you got to find another way.
Absolutely.
I just want to say, guys, I mean, I'm really excited about the season. I think the Giants are going nowhere but up. And, you know, well, let's just take care of business in Chicago. Everybody want to talk about the Pittsburgh and the Dallas game. I can wait for that.
Yeah.
Let's take care of business against Chicago this week, and then we can talk about Cleveland next week.
Good idea, Ralph.
Enjoy you guys. Enjoy you guys.
Thank you
so much.
Right. Appreciate you calling. Call again. We go to line 3, and Dan from Pennsylvania. You're next on the show. Hello.
Yes. How you doing, fellas?
Very good.
Great to talk to you, sir.
Yeah, definitely. Paul, it's a privilege to talk to you, and Howard, you know, thanks so much for all your great first downs and great blocks that you've grown those years. I'm a long time, big time. I'm just as old as you, Paul, and just a long time diehard season ticket holder. And I just wanted to touch on the going back to Monday night. I think that was such a great, awesome night, and it was so great the way Coach Coughlin got up there and wasn't going to get cheated and sounding like a drill sergeant out there, you know, and he was just so full of so much pride for his family and our great organization. And it was just such a special night. And I remember a few years back when Strahan went in, that was a great Monday night too, with a better result this time. Cause that night we got beat by the Colts.
Yes, that's true.
I just wanted to touch on that again and just, you know, it was just such a – it brought a tear to my eye. You know, he's just so loved, and he was such a great part of our I love including our, meaning it's part of me. But it is the Giants, and you guys are part of my life. I mean, I'm a contractor out here in Pennsylvania, and I work by myself a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm always listening to your show, whether it's the day before, you know, listening to it or whenever. It's just – us Giants fans really appreciate you guys, you know, keeping us in tune on it, because I know we've said it so many times. It's like our fix, you know. We got to have our daily Giants fix. And John and Lance and Jeff, I mean, you guys just do an awesome job. So I think I'm done buttering you guys up, and I'm just so psyched for Sunday, and let's go Giants.
Thank you, Dan. Right. Please call again and enjoy the rest of the season.
A lot was said about Coach Coughlin's halftime speech and the time that he took. Like, he wasn't on Coughlin time. He was, like, doing time. I think it's more of, you know, the way he stepped away from the team the first time. It was just – he just stepped away. And he had an opportunity to say thank you to the fans. And yeah. I think he wanted to make sure that the fans knew how much he appreciated, you know, all the support he got over the years. I thought it was great.
Oh, it was outstanding, and it was kind of ironic because, as you say, he's always 5 minutes early. That's his credo. But you knew he would be the last of the three honorees to be introduced. I mean, that was obvious. He would be the cleanup hitter, if
absolutely,
you will, right?
Absolutely.
And as the ceremony is going on, and I'm looking at the halftime clock, and it's draining down. I don't know. Did you notice it, Howard?
Oh, I did. We were sitting there laughing.
And I'm saying to myself, okay, Tom's going to be last, and what's he going to do when that clock goes to zero? And he wasn't going to let it go.
I didn't blame him. I mean, you know.
No, not at all.
It's kind of hard. You know, when you're bringing people into the Ring of Honor, you're trying to give them a couple minutes to say something. And the halftime is so squeezed.
It really is.
So, like, when the whistle blows, the last plays happen, whether it's a kick or the guy takes a knee, then the guys are running off the field. They're trying to run a stage on the field and trying to put it together. They're trying to plug in mics and get the mics working and all this stuff as they're getting ready. Okay, guys, get ready. That takes a few minutes away. Then it's like, okay, we're ready. Now we're going to do the PA announcements of these guys coming on. That eats up almost half of the time that they have.
Oh, sure.
So it's not this – it's a production. I think it's pretty funny. People don't realize how much it takes to get some of this stuff
out. Especially the Super Bowl halftime show, which they give 25 minutes for, but could take an hour to set up. It's ridiculous
how
they do it.
It's so fast. It's so quick. It's very impressive.
But you know what I love about Tom? Not only did he have the gumption to do what he did and said, I'm going to take my time out, he knew. What are they going to do, throw 5 yards for delay a game on him? I mean, really, what are they going to do?
That's pretty cool.
They're going to make the Giants move the ball back 5 yards on the kickoff because Tom was too long? I don't think so.
It's a lot of times. There are a lot of halftime shows that go a little long. The network may have been a little upset, but no one else cared.
Chris from San Diego, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Very good.
How are you, sir?
Good morning out there.
I'm good. Yeah, it's nice out here. I wanted to talk about the offensive formation. I know Gruden touched upon it on Monday night, and I think they're in the same formation 93% of the time. And I know part of that is personnel and, you know, not having a fullback on the roster.
You mean the three wides is what you're talking about?
Yeah, the three wides. You know, is that going to ultimately become too telegraphed? I mean, how do you mix that up if you don't?
It depends on where the guys are standing when they're three wides. You know, a lot of times people think about three wides. The three wides kind of turn into this scenario. Three wides are three wide receivers, a tight end, and a running back. The three wides essentially become a tight end and two wides because the slot guy is kind of playing the position of the tight end. The tight end who's actually on the field can rotate into the field to be a fullback. He can be the backside or the frontside blocker, leaving the slot guy to try to pick somebody off on the inside. There are so many different things that you can do out of three wides. Gruden's just, hey, they're always in three wides. They're always in three wides. Those are the three best players. You want those players on the field. So it's, you know, chicken or the egg kind of moment. It's harder to run the ball sometimes in those situations, but when everybody's spread out because you're so worried that one of those three guys is going to hurt you, it gets better and better every week.
Let's make something very clear, though, that in the last 2 weeks, the Giants have decided to go with a jumbo tight end. Marshall Newhouse has played some of that.
Yep.
They have used a few times of unbalanced line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Howard? So, you know, we have seen some tweaking going on with the Giants' offensive formation. So to be fair, I appreciate what Coach Gruden said, but that's like last month. The Giants are fiddling a little bit.
They are fiddling a bit, but, you know, Coach Gruden's just doing the Coach Gruden thing. Not that I don't like what he does. He does a great thing for youth football. But when you're standing up there and you're talking, you're trying to be entertaining. And he's supposed to be the guru, and every team does something differently. And I sit here almost every other day coming by the facility, and I can't tell you what they're doing on a regular basis because I don't actually know. When I'm watching a game, I'm like, okay, so – you're trying to guess what play they're going to run, and I pull people back on the sideline. Oh, they're coming this way. They go to the other side, or they run the ball. So I'm like, you know, there's no way to predict exactly what Eli sees and what Eli's doing. Some of it is, you know, the thing that you don't understand or that they can't do maybe on TV, they can't tell when a guy goes from a three technique or shades down to a one technique. That changes everything from an offensive line standpoint, and it might change the play. It's not always necessarily looking at where the Mike linebacker is or looking where the safeties are. It's just those guys shuffle around on the inside. It changes plays. So, again, we're all, you know, it takes – you'd have to have a quarterback up there. You'd have to have a safety up there calling the game and talking about what's happening with the announcer.
Is that all, Chris?
Yeah, that's great, guys. Thanks for that. That's great info. Appreciate you.
Yep. All right. All right. Take care. You know, that's the one thing, Howard, that all of us, and I'm talking about announcers, writers, analysts, studio guys, you know, let's face it. We can guess. Mm-hmm. We could take an educated guess maybe sometimes because some of us have been around the game a long time. Mm-hmm. But we don't really know exactly what the play was or what guys were supposed to do. Well, we could try, but not always.
The biggest giveaway is if a guy slumps his shoulders and goes –
Or
if a quarterback's exactly. like, you know, giving the wrist, like, go this way or do something. That's when you know.
That's when you know.
Or when the big tail in blocking is when the guy that's making the tackle, the guy that was supposed to block him, is walking back to help,
yes.
to help you up.
Yeah, that's a dead giveaway.
But as far as the plays themselves, you know, there are tendencies. Every team has them. Back when I first started out with the Giants, we ran the ball. Like, we ran it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't hide that we were running it. Nope. It was like, okay, we're going to run it. Hey, wherever he goes, they're going to run it. Then it morphed into me being a tight end for the next, I guess, you know, 11 years or whatever. It was no hiding. Okay, if Cross is over there, there's like an 80% chance they could run behind him if they run the ball. And here's the problem. You can't do anything about it. Like,
that's right.
You're eliminated. The rest of you guys got to make the play because you're going to be eliminated. So that was just part of the game. And, you know, when Anthony Munoz played, when, you know, guys that could – they could control their area, what are you going to do? Like, here's the thing. Ezekiel Elliott runs the ball.
Yes.
They're not mixing up the formation.
No.
They ain't doing anything. Like, okay. Hey, five big guys. Knock somebody out the wing. We'll get a ball to the kid. Tight end's like, where you want me to stand? Wherever you want. You want to stand on the left? You want to stand on the right? Just don't get in the way. Don't fall down.
Oh.
We're going to get them. So that's kind of like I love the fact when people are like, oh, we see this all the time. You can't be too creative. You can't outsmart the game. You got to make some things work.
Remember that they said Lombardi only had three running plays with those great Packers teams.
Yeah, he did.
You know, it was all about execution for him. It wasn't about out-scheming people. It was simply out-beating people.
That was the world then. This is the world now.
Indeed.
And it's interesting. It's actually kind of converting back because back then the coach called a play. The players ran, you know, out there. And the quarterback he ran the game.
Yeah.
And then we went to a stage where every play is called by the coach.
That's right.
And now we're going back to, hey, we're going to give the quarterback two options. Now we're going to give him four options. We're going to run the no huddle. We're going to give him all options. So it goes back and forth. The game is a copycat league, and whatever's working in one spot, other teams will try to pick it up.
Our number is 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Pat from Rochester is next on the show. Hello.
Hi, guys. I really enjoy the show. I want to start off by saying I've been a New York Giants fan when the quarterback from Ole Miss wore number 42.
Charlie Connery.
That's funny.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. And I want to say it's really a treat to see another Ole Miss player in there. He's doing fine, I might add.
Yes, he does. Good.
And I like the support of the offensive line, in spite of the fact they have so many injuries. It's amazing how he's been kept upright for the most part. The one thing I really want to say is about the halftime during this Monday Night Football game, when there was mention of the 5 minutes ahead of time before the meetings being 5 minutes ahead.
Yes, Coach. Yeah.
For the players to be there, you know, early, 5 minutes early. Yeah. And I remember the take during his tenure there as the coach, and he made a big deal out of that. And I think what he was really trying to say, okay, was the fact that if you're 5 minutes early, it shows your intention, that you really want, it's important to you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what he was trying to say. I don't know if it was said in the locker room at that time. What's your guys' take on it?
I think that if you think about it, in the world of sports, like in the military, we are supposed to be on time. I don't think, like in the business world, you can show up late to a meeting and apologize when you walk through the door. Oh, I'm sorry for making you all wait. You can do all that in other circumstances and other situations. But in sports, we're scheduled rigorously, and we need to be there when we're supposed to be there. So Coach Coughlin's like, hey, look, I'm going to change it even more. I'm going to say you got to be 5 minutes early or 10 minutes early, and that's the new clock. So no matter what your clock says at home, no matter what your clock says in your car, no matter if you have one of those auto-tuning clocks that always goes to the right time, 10 minutes earlier than that time. So instead of being a 12 o'clock meeting, it's 11:50. There's no big to-do about that. It's just that was the time. And I think there was more made out of it because guys were, hey, coach, the meeting says 1 o'clock. I got here at 12:55, and I'm late. Yeah, you're late because you're supposed to be here at 12:50. So
well,
I think that's it.
Tom one time actually said there was a practical reason for it.
Oh, and Lord.
He did. He actually said that one time. And he said, the reason that I always go 5 minutes early is because when you report to your meeting, chances are you take a minute or two to get settled in, to get your papers out, to get your pen out, to say hello to the guy standing next to you. And you don't actually give attention from the time you walk in the room till the time you actually get your mind focused and attention all ready to go until about 5 minutes in. So he said, if my guys are coming to the meeting 5 minutes earlier, by the time they get settled, they'll be ready and they'll be ready to go.
I don't mean any harm.
I'm just saying.
I don't want to be the bearer of bad news. They're not walking in with briefcases.
You know what I mean.
They don't have to, like, boot their computer
when
they
sit down.
Well,
actually, they come in with iPads now.
Yeah, and it's on when they walk in the room.
Well, maybe some of them got to power them up. Like, I got to power up the laptop for the show, which is why we're late for a couple of minutes sometimes on occasion for this program, because my laptop isn't powered up.
You need to be on Coughlin time.
I should be. I should be.
Thanks for the call.
Pat, is that it?
The only other thing I want to say is I'm really looking forward to the upcoming game later in the season with the Cowboys. And maybe because of the matchups, we might be able to win that game. And it might be an integral part of the season.
Well, hopefully between now and then they play the games they're supposed to play before they ever get to the Cowboys. And if they get there with taking care of their responsibilities – then it's going to be an important game.
Pat, you know, this week the Giants play the Bears, a great old-school rivalry, and I know you can appreciate that. How much would you just love the real grass and the frozen turf of, like, when Tittle played the Bears out in Chicago in the championship game?
I'm the sideline reporter. We don't want any real grass and frozen turf. We want a nice day. What is wrong with you?
Should we wear sneakers?
No.
Sneaker game. There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pat. Call again, please.
Paul, you are out of your mind. It's already supposed to rain or snow, and you're like, I wish – well, could you go back, harken back to the – no. I play every game indoors.
We got plastic and rubber pellets
now. I don't care. That means nothing. If you're a football player, you'll play in a parking lot if they'll let you. We did in Philadelphia. It's just that's what the world is like. He's a romantic.
Just remember, folks, Howard has a hat on when it's 40 degrees on the sidelines.
Yeah, look, Look at my hairdo.
Andrew, you're next on the show. Hello.
Howard, he looks in good shape, like he could still block and catch. And since Howard's on, I want to ask you about the tight end, Jarrell Adams. He looks like a good receiver. What are his blocking skills? He looks kind of thin. You know, he's tall, but he looks a little bit thin. Not like he doesn't look like he would be a great blocker, but what is your take on his blocking skills?
He gets a little bit better every week, but, you know, when you think about blocking skills, that's why they have that jumbo package bringing in alignment. If you're bringing in alignment when you really want to block, that kind of limits the view, and fans have been calling for that for a while. Won't they put a lineman in? Mm-hmm. When you bring the lineman in, you start to limit the view of what of things that you can do, or limit your options, I should say. So,
which is not necessarily a bad thing, Howard, because even if you limit your options, but you do those things well, and you can impose your will on somebody with that power and size, that's okay.
It limits your options. When you bring the lineman in, people step up to make sure that that lineman isn't the only person blocking.
So then you push him back.
Yeah, but he's not blocking all the guys.
I know.
You remember the
Go
rule?
Ahead.
You remember the Alabama rule? Keep one guy as far away from the play as
That's
possible.
That's true. Where's the Bama rule?
The unblocked man rule. Like, when you bring an extra lineman in, that unblocked man goes, oh, he ain't catching the ball. Let me step up. So you want the tight ends to get better and better at blocking. You want your front five to get better and better at blocking. So, you know, he's developing. He's coming along. Kid's a big kid, and he's young, and that's a good thing. So every year he's going to get better.
Guarantee you during the offseason program, they'll look to get him stronger.
He'll
no
have
question.
To get stronger. Yep, he'll be got to be a weightlifter.
You're right. You don't want to telegraph when the offensive lineman comes in as a tight end, but you always get that chance when you're near the goal line to sneak a pass because he's eligible. And that leads me to Beatty. Is he going to play? But first, I love Coughlin, but the irony was he was 5 minutes late going over his speech. Like he went 5 minutes long. But Beatty, is he going to play at all? And I'll leave you with that. And also Darkwa. I was disappointed that he's not the number two back. And what's the deal with Darkwa and Beatty? Thanks, guys.
I think Darkwa's going through some lower leg injury.
He's got a sore lower leg, and so for that reason, he's limited in practice. And we have a dial tone.
We got a dial tone.
We got a dial tone. We got to click him out.
Thank you.
Go.
Sorry
Thank
about
you.
That.
Yeah, Darkwa's got a sore lower leg, and he's limited in practice right now. And I'll be honest with you, maybe that was something that was developing over the last couple of weeks and could have somehow taken part in the decision to put him on the side, although I think Paul Perkins, quite frankly, in his cameo roles has done better and better, and they like what he's doing.
I'll always tell people, if you're an undrafted guy and you're playing in the league, you do everything you can to play. You never come off the field. Because if they draft a guy and he is nearly as good as you,
he's getting the ball.
He's getting the ball. or he's getting the block, or he's getting to try to make a tackle on the field. You have to it's your own little business. So if your business is 6 days a week and the guy next to you comes in, he's running 7 days a week, you go 7 days a week. That's just it. And I like Darkwa. I think Darkwa is a good runner.
So
but
do I.
Every time they draft someone, every time they bring a draft pick in or a free agent that they give money to, Darkwa is going to be like looking at that guy because that guy's going to get an opportunity.
Yeah.
And it's nothing wrong with that. But that's
competition.
What it is. Yeah, that's what it is. Every year, somebody's coming in to replace you. That's the art of other sports. As far as Coach Coughlin, guys, I love the speech. I love that he took his time. I love that he got the chance to say thank you.
And I'll
repeat that. I love the fact that he had the opportunity to say thank you in the most respectful way.
He was terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The comment you made about Will Beatty, I just want to reiterate, if you missed the beginning of the program, the Giants have on their current injured list Geddes, Jones, and Pugh, of which at this point Geddes is the only one who was out of practice this morning. So they would potentially be down, three guards going into this weekend's game. And so Will Beatty, there is a potential he would be the only healthy reserve lineman, which would give them six going into the game, which is why Sean McDermott has now been signed to the practice squad and is out there practicing today. Coach McAdoo had said yesterday, it's my responsibility to figure out who's going to be at the line, who's going to be here, who's not going to be able to play, who is going to be able to play, and I have to figure that out as the head coach.
Well, what they did in the game was Newhouse moved into guard, right?
Yes.
And then when they needed the jumbo package, Geddes came in and played guard, and Newhouse went out to tight end.
Yes.
While they were doing all that, if Geddes and Newhouse were in the game together, there were no more linemen. And at that point, that's when a person like Will Beatty will probably be activated, because even with those two guys, if Pugh doesn't come back and if Brett doesn't come back for this week, you have to activate Beatty.
He needs a jersey.
You don't. It needs pads. You got to be pads in the
house.
You just don't have enough guys to rotate and play. And God forbid if someone goes down, it's not like you're going to put a tight end at tackle and expect him to perform. So
bad idea.
You gotta go with, as people keep calling in and go, how do you think these guys are blocking? I think you got to go with what you get.
Okay, we go to line three, and I think it's B-Lo or Bilo. Hello, you're next on the show.
What's going on?
Hi.
Devin?
Hey, how we doing, man?
All right. Hey, I love the Giants win. I just got one concern. I feel like most defenses are starting to catch on to our quick passing game. Like, for instance, in the Bengals game, we had a lot of defenders diving for the ball, like the first intercept to Roger Lewis. They was jumping them short routes. I'm trying to see how can we get out of that. You know, I mean, not so often, like every play is a think and don't.
Well,
eventually, you know, if we play a team with a 4-4, I'm not sure about the Bears, but if they got a 4-4 defensive packet, that's a lot of, you know, that's a lot of people at the line of scrimmage where we're throwing these short passes at. That worries me.
I only want to say to you that Roger Lewis tripped up and actually had fallen by the time the ball got there and the Fitzpatrick intercepted it.
Yeah, but the dinking and dunking is due to you see some
the running game.
Yeah, it's not really the running game. It's more how long can Eli hold the ball? You know, you have to be
okay
to get the ball down the field. Think about it. If you want to throw a 30-yard pass, the guy in front of you, you got to like do your quick move. And then you start running. That's almost 3 seconds. So that means you got to at least hold the ball for two if the ball's going to be in the air for a second. That's an easy one. But if a play, if you're throwing the ball to the outside, if you're on one hash and you're trying to throw it out on the far side, you're still holding for almost 2.5 to 3 seconds. Once you go over 2 seconds holding the ball, you're in danger. Like, and if you that's the big thing about the dinking and dunking. If you got guys that are quick and can get open, give them the ball. Then you draw the safeties in. You make linebackers start to fall back, and that opens up the running game. Gives them opportunity to run the ball.
Right.
If it's not effective, then nothing matters. You can do anything you want. But you notice how the game went this past game. It was a dink here, dunk there. All of a sudden, one of those dinks and dunks.
Set up for the double move.
Yes.
I see what you're saying.
It's a touchdown. And
I never thought of it like that, but I can see it that way.
Yeah, and then later in the game, it became, okay, we got to drop these guys out to make sure that they don't throw we don't want any more slants, no more shallow crosses. Guys, stay back. And all of a sudden, you start running the ball on them.
Right.
So it's either one or the other. Like, you got to choose what you're going to defend.
You got to pick your poison.
Yeah, so if you stop it, if you have a good system for it, it'll work for a while, but the moment that it breaks down, it's down.
In short, remember, offensive coordinators, they're not just thinking about that play. They're thinking about setting stuff up, which is really what Howard's talking about.
Yeah, you want to go
right.
You want the most positive yards you can get in first down. To have a second and five, a second and six, that's good yardage. If you get two or three plays on the next play, you got a third and one or third and two. If you don't have a first down, that makes defenses do not like to deal with that. And every time that a defensive lineman comes off the ball and he's doing all his moves and jerking and grabbing and pulling and the ball's already out, he's tired. He's got to go back to the line and you start again. Ball's out. So all that energy they're expending over and over and over again becomes energy you can beat on them with later in the game. It's opposite because Dallas runs the ball the whole game.
Yeah.
And they beat on the guy the whole time running the ball. And when they want to throw the ball, you're so tired from beating on you during the run game that you can't get a pass rush. So, you know, it's one or the other. Pick your poison.
Right. Right. Okay, that's all I got. Thank you, guys.
No problem.
You're very welcome. Good to talk to you. All right, before we get to the calls, let's take another glance at the Twitter that we always do every week. We try to get you folks caught up on what's happening on the computer because not everybody is, should we say, aggressive enough to call. Sometimes they just want to post a question to us.
And they do. They hit us up on Twitter. They corrected me on some players a week ago.
AJ Marshall has one for us. He says, if Cruz plays Sunday, do you think the Giants will inactive, or I guess deactivate is the right word, Lewis Jr., who had a rough time on Monday against Cincinnati?
I don't think so. I think Lewis has kind of cemented himself into the position. I think that you have to wonder if one of the other receivers are going to step up. That's the only way that Lewis really gets pulled out, is that if someone else steps up in practice, starts looking like, you know, coach really wants to give guys opportunities who are making plays. Mm-hmm. Lewis makes a lot of plays. He's had a couple off plays, but he still makes a lot of plays.
Carl A. Martinez says, Bears passer rating differential in road games this season. In 1, 2, 3, 4, in four of the games, their passer rating has been significantly lower, and he is mentioning that they are 0-5 on the road this year and 2-2 at home.
I think that's all great, but I don't want to be the team that the Bears feel better against.
Hey, well, remember, Jay Cutler's got a good arm, and he can make all the throws. You have to understand that.
That dude just did the free throw thing. Oh, he's made 30 in a row. Clank. Yeah, don't. I don't do that.
Okay, and that looks like it for today's crop of Twitter questions. Okay. All right. So we will move on at 201-939-4513. We've got about 15 minutes left in the program. Elliot is on line 4. Hello, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing,
Hi.
Man?
Very good, very good.
Good to talk to you guys. The first time caller. I've been a Giants fan since about 03,
Thank
I think.
Thank you for
about.
Calling. That's cool.
And, it's just good to hear you guys. But I have a couple things. One thing about the safety play. I didn't hear much about Andrew Adams this week, and I'm just curious to how he did and, like, what's his progress. And, you know, Nate Burhe, I saw him on special teams making a few plays, and I'm still not sure what his situation is and if you think he'll be back in the starting lineup at all.
I will say this because I've heard the coaches this during the week, Howard, talk about Andrew Adams. They think he's held down the fort well. And to my understanding, I have had no sniff or hint of him coming out of the lineup. It appears that with Darian Thompson, now with the recurrence of the foot problem, and you know, he's not going to be back anytime soon now. Mm-hmm. That's it. I mean, he's done for the season. Andrew Adams, to me, unless he gives up the job, Nat Burhe is going to be a reserve and a special teams player.
Listen, like I just said, you cannot allow another man to step on the field and play your spot because of injury or anything like that, because they're constantly looking for a guy that can hold it down. And Andrew Adams is learning the terminology. You're back there with Landon Collins. Landon's running the show, and he gets everybody lined up, and then they go. That's a bad thing for you when all you have to do is, like, follow your instructions and play freely. So it's hard to get another guy back into the game. Burhe, good player, known as a big hitter. He put a big hit out there, gave himself a concussion, and now he's getting to watch other guys play.
Right.
So if there's a chance that you won't break your quote-unquote mantra of, like, I'm just going to try to blow guys up when I hit them, then they can't trust that you're going to be in there in a big moment of the game. So if Adams is doing well and can hold it down, keep Adams in the game. If Burhe was that much better than Adams, they would have put him in and dealt with, okay, hopefully he doesn't give himself a concussion again.
I think Burhe had a pretty good special teams tackle the other day, too. So he is contributing.
Oh, he did.
He hit him hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, like, I was a huge Kenny Phillips fan. You know, I love the safety play. And I just haven't seen a safety like him. Like, you know, like, he was the Kevin Durant of safeties for me. Like, he was long. He was physical. And I just don't see that anymore in the safety play. I don't know if there's any safeties around the league. I just haven't seen any. And, you know, it's just sad to see because I feel like our safeties are all kind of around the same size, same play. But, you know.
Kenny Phillips was going to be an all-pro had he stayed healthy. I think he was that good, Howard.
I think Hill, you know, was here for a little bit.
Will Hill was a very good player.
He was a very good player. I think when you look around the league. You're looking at Chandler out in Seattle as a
Eric Berry with the Chiefs.
You're looking at Chandler in Seattle.
He likes Chandler. That's okay.
That's the guy that everybody's kind of like, man, if there's another one of those dudes walking around, I'd like to draft him.
You're talking Weddle's about, pretty good, too.
Yeah, you got a lot of good guys. But
yeah, there's a bunch of safeties. So Chandler's like the bar. I get it.
Yeah.
Shoot high. Why not?
I miss the size. Yeah, I miss the I like Kenny's length. You know, I liked his length. So yeah.
Kenny was he's a good guy, too. I liked him. Good guy.
One more thing too. I just want to give a shout out to another caller, Sean in California. He was ever since the beginning of the season, he's always had a good view of the Giants, and he's always had faith in the Giants. And I feel the same way. I'm always, even keel, and I trust the game plan. You know, we have hiccups. It's football. You know, you can't win them all. But Sean, I appreciate his
call. All right,
Elliot.
Man. Thank you.
That's nice. Guys giving respect to other guys who have positive attitudes. I like that.
All right. We have Kyle from South Carolina. A lot of states being represented in today's show.
We're all over the country, man. We're wide open, baby.
All right, Carl, bring it.
How you doing today?
Hi. How are you?
Kyle. Good. I just want to talk about I don't feel like our defense is getting much respect, though. I mean, if you honestly look at it, our defense has probably won maybe four games for us. I mean, at the end of the game, and Jarvis Jenkins, Jackrabbit. I mean, come on. If he's not a top three corner in the league right now, I don't know who can really arguably say is much better than him. And yeah, I just wanted to get your view on that, on the defense.
I think the defense really hasn't gotten a lot of respect, and the reason why is because the numbers are down. People look at. Again, they look at stats. They want to see sacks. They want to see, earlier in the season, they weren't getting a lot of turnovers. So things like that, the numbers aren't there. The stops, the keeping teams out of the end zone, being the number one red zone defense in the league, people don't really recognize that and understand that, so they don't talk about them like they did when they were talking about the Vikings defense for a few months ago.
Okay, that's true.
They were talking about Seattle's defense or something like that.
I understand that.
So it's stats and numbers that people want to see. They don't get the whole thing that the Giants are, the defense on the field ending the game. The thing that also hurts the Giants defense is the long pass. So when you give up a pass over 30 yards, if you give up two or in the game or something – even though you shut them down and you win the game, people go back and go like, well, they give up big chunk plays. That's the thing. See, when we're doing what we're doing, we don't always paint the brush with the bright, frilly colors. Sometimes you paint these dark strokes. And a lot of the dark strokes, as he smiles, he's one of these guys. And all these dark strokes are the strokes that we want negative things. We want to say bad things about people, because it's the bad sells just like the good.
See, you should always strive to be better. I mean, you really should at all times. Here's what I will tell you, and the reason I kind of got baffled when you first came on with the call is that the Giants defense had locked down three straight wins while the opponents had gotten inside the Giants 30 in the final minute of those three games. And I think a lot of people talked about that, and I think a lot of people were impressed with how they were able to squeak out those victories. So I thought that they were being given some respect. Now, not nearly to the degree that they've been talked about with Seattle and Minnesota and these, quote, dominant defenses. I grant you that. You're absolutely right. They're not being talked about like that. But that's because I think, as Howard said, in the statistical rankings, which everybody likes to use, the Giants are like a top 12 defense. They're right in that ballpark or so. And that's why they're not talking about them like, Mike Tyson types of defenses.
Like, it's like a QBR rating. If you did a QBR rating for defenses, the Giants would be really high on the scale, because they're on the field inside the red zone, stopping teams from scoring, making plays in that situation. But you don't do that. You look at how many sacks do you have, how many turnovers. The sacks and turnovers kind of drive what people believe defenses are, and it's also driven by fantasy sports.
When you do a
fantasy defense, you can only get points by doing certain things.
Right.
So that's just part of it. I think they're a good defense. I think, again, the chunk plays are what people are looking at, and they're like, if I'm Jay Cutler right now, I'm thinking I can get at least 130 or 40 yard bomb in there. We just got to make it count.
And I think people forget that when we played the Saints, what we held Drew Brees to a touchdown. I mean, they only scored 13 points.
Absolutely,
you know.
But I
think that was the best out of the whole season right now. And then other people forget that Dallas is, I think, 9-1 or 8-1.
Who beat
them? That one loss is from who? Us. Yeah. You know,
Kyle.
And that was at Dallas.
This is what I want you to do. Some of your friends who like to emphasize stats and stuff, if you see them this week before the Bears game, here's a stat I want you to give them. In the Bengals game last Sunday, the last 11 Bengals passes, there were 7 different quarterback hurries, 2 sacks, and only 2 clean pockets on the last 9 Bengals passes in that game as the Giants tried to hold on to that 1-point lead in the fourth quarter. Now, those numbers help you win the ball game. And yet they only had 2 sacks during that time period. Mm-hmm. But the pressures... 7 quarterback hurries on Dalton's 11 throws and 2 sacks, which means 9 of his 11 throws he got messed up on. That's good.
Yeah. He had to get off his spot.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, there's a stat for you. Give that to your friends. Let them know about it.
And what do you guys feel about Jack Rabbit? I mean, I feel like he's playing like one of the top corners in the league, because I don't even remember really his wide receiver scoring a touchdown in many games.
Well, he's actually given up 2. He's actually given up 2, but that's okay because he's played really well.
I think it's funny because, you know, when you think about, you know, Jenkins, I was thinking more that coming into the game that Cromartie would be the guy on A.J. Green. So you can tell what Spags and the defense thinks of him, because he went, you know, sideline to sideline, slot, inside, out, wherever Green went. You know, Jack Rabbit went. If he went to the sideline, Jack Rabbit would walk him off before he jogged back to his sideline. So that to me, when we talk about corners, whoever they may be, I tell people, you want to be a top corner, follow your guy around the field. Follow that guy around the field. Take that guy out of the game the best you can, because once you take one big time threat out of the game, it changes all game plans. So, again, thanks for the call. That was pretty cool.
All right, Kyle. Appreciate it. Mike from Florida, you'll be the last caller on today's show. Hello.
Oh, hello there, guys. Hey, I got 3 items I'd like you to kick around for me. I'm a little bit concerned about the Giants' shortage of linemen in the O-line. And I don't want this to happen, but hypothetically, if Richburg came out, who would be the backup center? And then what might that do or change as far as the lineman shuffle as you guys see it?
Well, it depends now on who's going to be active on Sunday first.
Let's go with what we got now.
Okay. You have out there at practice right now, Geddes would be the backup center as of practice today, because he is working. He would be the backup center.
Not Jerry.
No, it would be Geddes.
All right. Okay.
Then who would be the left guard?
Newhouse.
Newhouse would have to be the left guard. Geddes would be the center. That would mean, hopefully, that...
Well, Jerry stays, and Hart stays, and Flower stays.
Okay. All right.
So Beatty then becomes sort of a... Beatty, maybe is the swingman?
Beatty's the only guy left. And he's not the swingman, so to speak. A swingman can go... Like, Newhouse is the swingman.
Yes.
Newhouse can go guard, tackle. He could probably even play center if they need him to. I don't know, but you know,
somebody better tell him that.
Yeah, but no, seriously, that's what a swing man does. Like before with Booth, Kevin Booth was a Giant swing.
Yeah,
man. He played guards, tackle, center. He went from lineman to lineman. He did everything. So Beanie's more of a tackle. He can play right or left, but being able to play all the positions, it's hard to get a guy that can do that.
Okay, thank you. Listen, preparing for Cutler versus preparing for Dalton, to me, is 2 different, studies and preparation pages. How do you think the Giants will prepare for Cutler as opposed to Dalton? Because Dalton pretty much stays in the pocket. And in that preparation, what are the stresses on the Giant linebackers? Are they really good in short pass coverage?
Well, the thing with the Bears has been that they've been trying to, you know, get that offensive line up and running for almost as long as Jay's been there.
Yeah.
And they're still suffered through the running. Their only hope is to try to run the ball because they have a dynamic running back in Howard. If they can run the ball, they can start to play play action. When you start to play play action, that means the safeties are stepping up and the linebackers are holding to try to make sure that that Howard's not getting going. So when he leaves the pocket, it's because the front four didn't get to him in time. But the way he's playing right now, if you compare Dalton to Cutler, Cutler has a bigger arm, but they both run around. If you saw Dalton, once he broke the pocket, he was off and running. So I don't think Cutler is as interested as running as Dalton was, but he will run. He's very athletic.
All right. Hey, thanks for tying those things together for me, guys.
No problem. Have a
great
day. Great
stuff. I think Cutler's probably more apt to force the ball, too.
I think Cutler believes in his arm more.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, Dalton has the luxury of having, you know, Eifert and A.J. Green.
He's got better skill positions around him.
Yeah, so when you have those two guys, you are less likely to force ball because they're going to be open
exactly
when they're running their routes. Whereas Cutler, even when Austin Jeffries were healthy, he wasn't truly dynamic. They drafted a kid they thought was going to be dynamic who really
got hurt.
Yeah, but they're just not. So you're playing with what you got. So when you know, not having an offensive line means you're going to get hit a lot. Not having receivers really means you're going to get hit a lot or you're going to have a lot of turnovers.
Yeah.
So take your choice.
Good time for the Giants pass rush to be gaining momentum.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, folks, that'll do it for this edition of today's Big Blue Kickoff Live. We will be back again tomorrow with another show. I believe that's John Schmelk and Jeff Fiegels.
Good job.
It's Monday to Friday from noon Eastern time till 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 1 hour of Giants talk here on Giants.com. Jot down the number so you have it next time, 201-939-4513. For Howard Cross, I'm Paul Tatino. We'll see you.